Is this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and most importantly, convenient way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're preparing for a speech.
Giving it.
Watching someone else's speech.
Or totally bombing your speech.
Chad, what does bombing mean?
Bombing is to fail miserably.
Okay.
I'm joined here today in the studio with Mr. Vocabulary himself, Ethan. And the man who doesn't cheat death, but wins fair and square, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah.
What's going on, fellas?
Not much.
First of all, Mr. Vocabulary, what did I mean by Justin doesn't cheat death, but he wins fair and square?
Well, usually when you cheat death, it means that you almost die, but you don't die.
Fair and square?
So you find some way to save yourself.
Yeah, but fair and square implies what?
Fair and square means that you follow the rules.
Yeah. It's like fair, but just a stronger expression, right?
And cheating would be breaking the rules, of course.
Exactly. So we're super excited for today's episode. We have something very relevant. If you didn't notice from the intro, everything today is going to be related to giving speeches in English and speaking in public. Also, today you're going to notice another big change. Last week we changed up a little bit with the new segment, which was... what exactly, Mr. Vocabulary?
Kick-ass quotes.
Kick-ass quotes, that's right. Justin, what does ass mean?
Ass is your behind, your butt. But kick-ass is actually something really awesome.
I believe someone wrote an article about that.
It's true. Who was that?
It was you. We'll make sure we post it in today's show notes, and it'll also be featured on the Power Lesson if you are a Fluency Circle member.
Kick-ass.
Exactly. But today we have a new segment on the show, but we're not going to reveal it right now, so make sure you stick around to the end of today's show and you will hear all about that. But like always, let's start off with today's shout outs. You know you make me
wanna shout, kick my heels. All right, we have an awesome shout out today from Almir Batista from Fluency Circle, Brazilian member. It's called My Shout Out.
Just before we start, where did he leave the shout out? Where did he leave us the review, just so other viewers can understand where they can also leave us a review?
It's on iTunes.
Okay.
5-star review. We're very grateful for this.
Why are we so grateful of 5-star reviews? Just one more time before we start.
Helps our ranking on iTunes so we can help more people like you improve their English.
Oh, that's right.
And have a little bit of fun.
Oh, yeah. So, what's Almir got to say, man?
It's been a while that I've been sharing my experience with Real Life Radio Fluency Circle. I think I can say I'm a Power Lessons hard user since the first lesson ever published. And it is no doubt one of the most valuable investments that I've done to make and keep English as a part of my everyday life. The Real Life Global website with its content is already awesome by itself. Now, the Real Life Power Lessons are the best part of it. The wealth of information in each transcription is fantastic. Thanks, Chad, Justin, and Ethan. You guys have been doing a really brilliant job, seriously, and with great value for us. Keep it rocking. Aw, yeah.
Was it actually aw, yeah?
Yeah, it was A-W-W-W. I think this is one of the first times that somebody has written it correctly.
Aw, yeah.
Aw, yeah.
Almir from Guarujá, São Paulo, Brazil.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for that review.
I really love that, Almir, because I feel like we work really hard on those lessons. It's great to hear that someone has been enjoying every single one from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And also with a lot of thanks to our buddy Max, who's been helping us a lot behind the scenes with creating those power lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an indispensable part of this process.
And an inspiration as an English learner.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, so like we said, you guys can give us some love whenever you want on iTunes or Stitcher. We'll also link that in the show notes how you can actually do that. Thanks to Ethan, who made a nice instructional video.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. So that's it for today's shout outs. Let's move on to the kick-ass quotes.
I'm kick-ass.
All right, Mr. Vocabulary. I believe you want to read out today's kick-ass quote. What you got for us?
So we've got a pretty awesome quote that Justin just found from Jerry Seinfeld.
Who is that?
Jerry Seinfeld is an American comedian who also had a long-running TV show that was very popular in the 90s. I know I kind of like grew up on that stuff with my family.
Yeah, I love Seinfeld.
So
we'll link the first episode actually just on Ororo TV, which is a place you can watch an hour of TV a day for free with subtitles.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Great way to get in your English practice.
If you get hooked on this, you're going to be watching a lot of this for the next couple months.
Oh, yeah.
And what has Mr. Jerry Seinfeld got to teach us all today?
According to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. Does that sound right? This means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy.
Okay. First of all, what is a casket?
So a casket is the wooden box that they put you in when you die, and well, hopefully not you, but they put people in when they die.
Well, everyone dies, Ethan.
AKA coffin.
What does AKA mean?
Also known as.
Thank you, Mr. Vocabulary. And also a eulogy. What is a eulogy?
So a eulogy is kind of a nice speech that's given at a funeral, telling all the greatest things about the person who is in the casket. Jerry Seinfeld has a very kind of ironic, sarcastic sort of sense of humor. It's not necessarily the kind that like leaves you laughing out loud, but it's kind of witty. And so...
What do you mean by witty?
Witty just means that it's kind of smart humor. British are very famous for using witty humor.
Witty humor, yeah. Sometimes black humor, maybe?
Could be as well, if it's a little bit darker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically what he means in this quote is that for most of us, we would much rather die than actually have to give a speech in front of a lot of people.
That's right. So that is something that is very difficult, especially in a second language, which I know a lot of people out there have probably had to do. If you're English learners and you use your English for business or work or anything like that. So that is the topic of today's conversation too. So with that said, let's move on to today's conversation topic.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
So Justin, you just had to give a speech here today, right?
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking.
What does nerve-wracking mean?
Nerve-wracking, well, your nerves, right?
Yeah.
You get nervous. And so to rack means to hit really hard.
Yeah, it's almost like a hard shaking, right?
Yeah, so it was very nerve-wracking leading up to it. I had nightmares, not gonna lie. I tried my best to prepare, and I felt like it was really hard to breathe, too, on stage. But it was a very good experience overall, a growth experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you pulled it off?
I feel like there are a lot of ways I could have done better, but I think I pulled it off, yeah.
So what does pull something off mean?
To pull something off means that you managed to do something successfully where there was a possibility that you could fail or maybe bomb, like we said at the start of today's podcast.
Mm-hmm. I think you pulled it off.
Yeah, you pulled it off nicely, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people, however, who did not have English as their first language who also were presenting today. And I could definitely see some of them that struggled with that.
Yeah, what do you mean by struggle in this case?
They had a difficult time.
Yeah, yeah.
So just so you guys know what we're doing, actually, we're in this program called Startup Chile, and we're getting support from the Chilean government and from mentors and entrepreneurs and just government officials. And so there are about 85 companies, maybe about 200 entrepreneurs here to receive the support, and we're one of those companies. And we present in front of government officials and all the other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So it was definitely a big day in that sense.
So what other kind of feelings did you have? Did you go kind of weak at the knees?
Definitely, for a few minutes afterwards at least.
Wow, even afterwards.
Yeah. Were your palms sweaty?
vomit on the spider?
Maybe it was your mom's spaghetti.
This is actually the lyrics from the Eminem song, Lose Yourself, but we'll actually play you out with that.
Yeah, let's play them out with that song today. Very relevant.
It's exactly the same kind of situation, but they were doing a freestyle rap. It's from the story of Eminem's life, mm-hmm. called 8 Mile.
Maybe that's how you should have done your presentation today.
You should have rapped it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so let's move on from that. How about we give these guys some new ideas, ways that they can prepare themselves for a speech more, especially in English, and how this can help their English fluency in other ways, too. Because, well, first of all, you mentioned you prepared quite well for your speech, Justin.
I try my best. You know, I've definitely changed the way I prepare now, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did you go about preparing it? What were some like key points that you'd give out listeners advice about in order to prepare a speech, especially in another language?
Well, I would say just write down what you want to say, but don't spend too much time writing that down. I would say like practice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Get feedback from your friends.
Yeah.
And maybe you just find what comes out naturally when you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can maybe even write that down and modify it and just make it better. But it has to be natural.
Sure, yeah. Natural is always better.
Maybe if you don't have anyone around, even practice in front of the mirror.
If you have a mobile device, some kind of thing you can use to film yourself, that's always cool, right?
I mean, like a selfie video?
Yeah, like a selfie video. Even just recording your voice, saying it, and then you can play it back and hear yourself speaking. That's always good for language learning, too.
Could be really good for your accent.
Really great for your accent.
You can imitate speakers. You can imitate speeches that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You were trying to do that a little bit, right? Like you watched maybe some Steve Jobs, some other TED Talks that inspire you?
Yeah, definitely. In my mind, I was definitely imitating him, but it's really hard to do that in the actual speech itself.
You almost have to find your own authenticity.
Definitely.
Yeah, you're right. This is something that's kind of cool because I've noticed that this is a way of kind of applying this to your actual language learning. I've noticed as a language learner that, especially when I first moved to Brazil, now I've just moved to Chile, I'm learning Spanish now, that when you're meeting new people in a new country, maybe you're at a new job or something like that, you tend to always have those same conversations. And I guess it's kind of similar to memorizing a speech in some ways, because if you can memorize your speech, it's the same thing you're going to say. Maybe you're going to have to give that speech several times, like a pitch.
Yeah, when you meet a lot of new people, this is what happens. Like, hey, what are you doing in Chile?
Exactly. And it's like, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing here? Why did you come here? What do you like about the city? And then they might ask you about your city, and then so on and so forth. You can kind of guess what kind of questions you're going to face when meeting someone new, depending on what you're doing in that country or why you're using your English. And you can kind of script it, and it becomes very natural because you've just said that over and over again.
Of course.
And I've actually had this happen to me once. I've had a conversation with someone, and they're like, wow, your Portuguese is great, man. And then I started talking about a subject that I'd never talked about before, and they were kind of like, oh, actually, it's not that good.
They said that to
you? Oh, not like that, but I mean, they kind of realized that the first subject of like introducing myself to someone and having the very normal first conversation you have with someone, I was really fluent at that. Mm-hmm. But then when we started talking about other more specific subjects, I had no vocabulary.
But that always happens as a language learner. I mean, there's always something that you're not so great at talking about, even in your own language, can happen.
That's true.
But I think an important thing here to note is that the more you kind of repeat the same conversation, the same script, the effective filter comes down.
What's the effective filter?
Well, in English teaching and learning, this is basically like this block in your mind that kind of blocks your confidence, this emotional barrier that prevents you from speaking at your best.
Okay. Did you feel that today?
Definitely. And this is, it's exactly that. It's stage fright.
That happens even just talking to one person in another language sometimes.
Yeah. What is stage fright, first of all?
Stage fright is just the horrible fear that you feel that makes your knees weak and just really scared when you're on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Stage fright.
What is the stage as well? Just say?
Stage is what you get up on. It's a platform that you speak from.
Yeah.
Right. And so you might have that maybe when you're talking with like a pretty girl or a handsome guy, or just speaking English for the first time. Mm-hmm. So the more that you actually repeat that, and the more that you just see it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a learning process, and that sort of relaxes, and then you can flow.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about giving speeches today, but these same principles are also relevant. Like we said, just in speaking casually on the street to someone, you might feel nervous. I guess you have to just kind of like sink into that, go with the flow, start to feel comfortable.
Maybe even lean into it.
Lean into it is a nice expression. What does that mean, Mr. Vocabulary?
So lean into something is kind of putting your weight against something. But this would be almost metaphorical, where you're almost just going through that fear to kind of create confidence.
Yeah, I'm sure like we mentioned how Justin, for his preparation, he looked at a lot of really good speakers and they seem like they're so natural and so good at what they do, but I'm pretty sure they've probably practiced that speech hundreds, thousands of times.
I read the Steve Jobs biography.
Okay.
And he used to just prepare like crazy for his speeches. For every single presentation he gave, he would like prepare for like weeks and like come like a couple days before and check out the scene exactly where he was going to give it and visualize what he was going to do. So I just think extremely, extremely prepared.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because for your pitch, we thought we'd have like about a month. And in fact, it ended up only being a few days.
And also we had to go to Valparaiso for, we kind of got distracted over the weekends. It was really just one day preparation.
Yeah.
But you pulled it off, man. We were really impressed. Did a good job.
So yeah, it was like a 3-minute, we call it pitch, for Real Life English.
And what is a pitch exactly, Mr. Vocabulary?
So a pitch, another good American metaphor would be in baseball.
Love those balls.
We love those balls. A pitch in baseball would be when the pitcher, the person who throws the ball. They pitch the ball. So you're kind of doing the same thing with an idea, or if you have to present something, you're pitching it to someone.
There's the idea of the elevator pitch, right? Can you explain
exactly
that?
So that's the elevator pitch is kind of like the 2-minute pitch, maybe. If you
45 seconds.
45 seconds even. So the idea is that you're just getting in an elevator with someone really important and you only have the time to go to the top of the building to basically tell them what your idea is. Mm-hmm. So the elevator pitch would just be that completely embodying that presentation of your idea or your company or whatever you want
talk
to
about
present.
It in a really eloquent way that impresses a person, that impacts them, right? Yeah, so this is a really vast topic and we could talk all day long about it, but I think we're going to do another episode on job interviews. We've gotten some recommendations for that and it's really important.
Yeah, like you said, this is just one podcast. I think this whole subject has a lot of other subjects that can come off it. So,
and we're just scratching the surface.
What does scratching the surface mean, Justin?
Scratching the surface is when you're barely even just starting to access really the full amount of something or potential of something.
Could even say that we've just hit the tip of the iceberg.
Ooh, Mr. Vocabulary is always coming back with something else, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll explain that metaphor.
So it's kind of like an iceberg. They say the part of it that you see is just, 10% of the entire thing? Mm-hmm. And much more of it is below the water. You can't see it. Yeah. So we just scratched the surface, just the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. And that's it for today, though, in relation to public speaking. So what are some big things they can take away from this? Maybe just practicing their own little pitch in English?
Absolutely.
Maybe an elevator pitch. Think about how would you present yourself in English to someone if you only had 45 seconds?
You can even just think of how you would do this first in your own language and then find a good way to translate that and kind of saying it as simply, as concisely as possible.
Maybe about your profession too.
Sure.
That's important.
Yeah. Maybe, like we said, you can just create like a whole list of different pitches related to different conversational topics you're going to have in English.
This is pretty much what fluency is. If you think about it, they sort of overlap and start to form like one collection of scripts.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, yeah, let us know what you thought about today's conversation topic. Like we said, we're going to follow this up with some more topics related to this. But for now, let's move on to today's question. All right, question master Justin, what do you got for us today?
Okay, this is a very common occurrence in connected speech, especially with American speakers. I think this happens in other parts of the world, but I'm not sure. So this is actually what we cover in the power lessons. We kind of transcribe this, and then we go down and we analyze the pronunciation. So, okay, when you have a pronoun that starts with an H, for example, he, his, her, or him, preceded by a word that ends with a D, that H is dropped. For example, had he called me, I might say,
had he called me?
Yeah, had he called me.
So in that case, you're dropping the H sound. So it goes from like, had he becomes had he.
Yeah. So that last consonant even hooks on to the vowel sound.
Mm-hmm.
Hadi. Hadi called me.
Another example. Could her friend come?
Could her friend come?
Could a friend come?
Could her.
Could her.
And this happens with had he, had his friend come, had his friend come, right?
Had his friend come.
Exactly.
Had his friend come.
Had her class started earlier.
Had her class started earlier.
Okay, and now I'm going to evolve this a little bit and show you guys another tendency. It's the same rule, but we're going to actually take the American D, which is actually when a T sound, like for example, better, becomes better in our pronunciation because it's between two vowels, mm-hmm. right? The T sound is between two vowels, so it becomes a D sound.
And they don't do this in British English, and sometimes they don't do it in Australian English, right?
Oh no, we speak much better than you do.
So now, for example, but it becomes but it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you add a pronoun with an H after it, like but her name is...
But her name is.
Butter.
But her name is.
But her name is.
Butter, you mean that butter that you put on bread.
Exactly. But he's my friend.
But he's my friend.
Do you mean buddy?
No, I mean buddy's my friend.
But he, right?
So wait, let me just clear this up for our listeners. So you're saying that when I say, but he is my friend, you say, buddy is my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Because the T on the end of but becomes a D. Because it's surrounded by two vowel sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, buddy's my friend.
Who's your friend? Buddy?
Okay, another couple examples before we finish this right now. That his... He told me that his name is...
He told me that his name is...
That is.
That is.
That his name is.
Cool.
She told me that her name is...
She told me that her name is...
That her name is.
That her name is. That her name is, right?
And this happens with some other sounds as well. But that's just a sample of what we cover in the power lessons. But this is one of the reasons why people have such a difficult time understanding native speakers, because they're expecting the full sound.
Mm-hmm.
But we connect our words. We shrink them. We link them. This is connected speech.
Yeah, there are. I do the speech analysis on these podcasts, and there are a ton of examples of this.
You were about to say shitload, weren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ethan says shit more than anybody I know, just so you guys know.
Well, okay. Yeah, so that's what we're all about. So if you guys want to know more about the power lessons, like we mentioned at the start of today's podcast, go to the show notes, and we're going to add a link to show you how you can join the Fluency Circle and get the real-life power lessons every week, just like Almir from Brazil, who seems to be enjoying them quite a lot, right?
Sounds like he loves them.
Five-star review.
Five-star review.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he gave the oh, yeah, spelled correctly.
Oh, yeah.
You know how he knows how to spell oh, yeah?
Because he listens to every podcast.
He listens to every podcast, and he can read it on the Power Lessons. All right, guys, so just before we finish up today, we're going to just finalize today's podcast with the new segment. And the new segment on today's podcast is designed to get you guys interacting more with us, and we really want to get you guys really improving your English fluency. So we have a weekly challenge. Oh yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Alright guys, so today's weekly challenge is all related to today's song. Like we mentioned in today's podcast, the song about, what's the song called again?
Lose Yourself.
Lose Yourself by Eminem. And Justin, you've been using this in classes quite a lot. Am I right?
Yeah, I use it to teach connected speech. Actually, what I was just teaching you guys here about how we reduce the H sound when followed by a D sound and pronouns mm-hmm. beginning with an H.
And a lot of that American T sound.
Yeah.
Cool. So what we want you guys to do is go to the show notes of today's episode, listen to the song, read the lyrics, and we want you guys to practice rapping like Eminem.
There are at least 15 examples of this in a 40-second stretch of the song, and this is what I use with my students. So 1 minute to 140 into the song. I can give you guys a couple examples of the connected speech they use.
Let's hear it.
Buddy keeps on forgetting, but he, buddy, what he wrote down.
What he
wrote down. The crowd goes so loudy, loud he, Loudy.
So Loudy. Awesome.
There goes Rabbity. Rabbit he. Yeah.
Okay. So his friend's name is Rabbit, right?
His name is Rabbit.
Oh, there goes Rabbity choked.
Okay. So as you can see, there is a lot of connected speech, especially with the connected speech we just taught you guys in today's lesson. There's a lot of new vocabulary. And the fact that you're going to be singing with Eminem himself is going to really help you start flowing more with the language. So we understand that the whole song is very difficult. So we just want you guys to record yourself rapping this from 1 minute to about 1 minute and 40.
And just a little piece of advice, I would actually make it about 10% slower. So bring it down to 90% of the song speed. If you can do that on your audio playing device, that's great.
Mm-hmm. You can do that on Windows Media Player as well.
VLC.
All these media players, they generally have an option of making the track slower, which can really help you understand and really hear the connected speech, right?
Yeah, and then you can bring it up to its full speed once you learn it. So mm-hmm. really great exercise. You're going to see a huge jump in your pronunciation after you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. I might recommend making an account on SoundCloud to be able to share that. That's one of the best ways to share audio and get feedback.
The reason we want you to do this is because we want you guys to start taking action, really reaching English fluency, and this is a great method and a great way to do that. So you can even feel free to send it to us. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear of your guys' progress. And the best ones, we're going to mention in the next podcast.
Just real quickly, Chad, at our last party in Belo Horizonte,
yeah,
you met one of my students, didn't you?
I did. And I was like, hey man, what's up? And he introduced himself. It was a Hiki, right?
Yeah.
And I asked him how his classes were going. He's like, oh, check this out. And he's like, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater. All right, he just kept going with the whole song. I was like, wow, man, that's pretty good. And he seemed pretty fluent. Seemed like he'd really got a lot of benefits from learning the song. So that could be you guys. Try it. We'd love to hear about how it works for you guys, and we're sure it's going to work wonders.
What does work wonders mean?
It means it's going to be very effective.
Okay.
Miraculous, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that is it for today's podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and thanks a lot for being here with us today, you listeners, and also my co-hosts.
Thank you, Chad.
And Mr. Vocabulary, it's a pleasure having you on the podcast now.
Give me a high five.
Oh yeah. See you guys next week on Real Life Radio. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit. He choked, he's so mad, but he won't give up. He won't have it, he knows. His whole back to these ropes, it don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody, better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his mouth in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his mouth in the music, the moment you own it. Chance to blow, this opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Come on. Souls escaping through this hole that is gaping. This world is mine for the taking. Make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring, but superstardom's close to postmortem. It only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over. These d- is all on him. Coast to coast shows, he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely roads, God only knows he's grown farther from home. He's no father. Off like two dogs cage. I was playing in the beginning, the mood all changed.
changed. I've been chewed up and spit out and booed off stage, but I kept rhyming and stepped right in the next cipher. Best believe somebody